friends, or maybe more. Earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power, thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log in to your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Hello and welcome to this all-weather finals day postcast. I'm Maddie Plale, joined in the studio by Tom Collins. We have Ron Wood on the line as well and Niall O'Reilly from Paddy Power. Let's get into it, guys, because the Champions Day sort of initiative is still a relatively new thing, but it seems to have grown and grown in popularity. TC, you like to get stuck into these all-weather races. What's your approach when looking at a card like this?
I like horses that haven't necessarily been running every single week on the all-weather. Plenty of these that you'll see on Friday have had this as their target. Some have had 7 runs, 8 runs, some have had 1. I prefer to look at the fresh horse angle. There's a few lovely horses running as well, so it should be a nice punting card and hopefully you can get a few winners.
Yeah, it very much seems like the class of the horse needed to run in these races has improved recently. And the French are doing quite well when they bring their horses over, aren't they, Ron?
Yeah, absolutely. I was been through a few of the French ones this week, just like with last year in mind and how well they've done in previous times. And without giving anything too much away, I wasn't massively impressed with their runners this time around. But yeah, they've always been taken seriously. I mean, I made a point of going through the videos and stuff because you just don't know. I mean, last year, you know, Catchy got turned over by a French horse, didn't he? And so on. So, I mean, they're well represented again. And I don't know if the other guys sort of like them, but they need taking seriously for sure.
Yeah, they definitely do. And Niall, what are your thoughts on approaching this sort of card?
Yeah, it can be a tricky card. The draw is obviously very important right here.
Yeah.
Like there's plenty of value there though from what I can see in the early markets. So, yeah.
Okay, as you say, early markets. But let's see if we can fish out some value for you. We'll start off with the 130, the Sun Racing All-Weather Championships Apprentice Handicap. Niall, we haven't got prices for this one, but who can you envisage being towards the top of the market?
The one I was actually most keen on myself was Gallipoli. I can see him being towards the head of the market as well. Now, he was beaten last time by Card Sharp, who runs in the all-weather mile by 3/4 Valente at Linkfield. Now, he was fairly beaten and he was getting a lot of weight, but I just thought the interesting thing about that race was that Gallipoli actually recorded the second fastest 7 furlongs running at Linkfield in about a year, from what I can see, with Card Sharp recording the fastest. So I think that's quite strong form in the context of this handicap. He's running off a mark of 92 here with Sean Davis, probably one of the better apprentices claiming 3. I presume Shala Lalali will try and get out and get across, so I'm hoping he sits relatively prominently. And if he gets a good position, I think he'll take a lot of beating here.
Okay. I don't think market leaders have a particularly good record in this, TC, but who do you fancy? I mean, I find these races a bit of a minefield, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's very competitive, isn't it? And jockey booking and the draw, both really crucial in this kind of race with so many runners fighting for position. It's normally a race with plenty of hard luck stories as well. So
yeah,
you're going to want to cross your fingers and hope that your horse gets a nice run through. I narrowed it down to 3. Goring was actually at the top of my list, but then I saw that he was allotted stall 14 and that kind of put me off. Gallipoli, as Niall said, has got a great chance. Finished 3rd in this last year, went really unlucky, completely blew the start. Only £1 higher. Sean Davis, as Niall said, is a great jockey, so he's got a great chance. But I think I'm quite confident, actually, you know. I've narrowed this down to 1 after... This is the race I've actually studied the most out of it, all of them the card, because I thought this was the most value. And I like Breathless Times for Roger Charlton. He's a smart 4-year-old. May still have improvement in him. He hasn't had very many runs. He's 4/9 on the all-weather. He was unlucky unlucky 4th in the 3-year-old contest last year. Goes well at the track. Ran a really nice prep at Newcastle as well. He didn't really fire that day, but I think he wasn't fully fit, and this will be his main target. And Cam Noble is a fantastic rider, probably the best in the race, in my opinion. And I think he's a great bet.
Okay, great bet then from TC. And Ron, what about you? What do you think? We definitely got some winners out of you with the maiden anti-postcast, so hopefully let's get some more in this one.
Yeah, I quite like the sound there of Niall saying Gallipoli. That's quite a good case for him. But I mean, the one I came down on, to be honest, it's not a race that I was that strong on, as you know, it's been touched on. It's so competitive. But Raucus, maybe from he's a handy draw. He's drawn in stall 2. I like the jockey, Kieran Fallon, claiming 5. I quite like the angle of an apprentice. An apprentice's race, and I quite like the angle of an apprentice being able to claim a bit of weight in this, because there's other apprentices in here who don't claim, and you know, they're all maybe of a similar level. And so the ones that, I mean, Kieran Fallon claims £5 in this, and whereas some of them don't. And I think that helps. And the horse is already on a handy mark. He's on 97. He's been rated in the hundreds before. The question mark for him is the trip. He's done most of his racing at 6. But, I mean, if you're going to get 7 anywhere, it's probably around Lingfield and stall 2 with the jockey taking a bit of weight off. he's in okay form. He's not the easiest to catch, right? But I take a chance on him. I think, you know, we'll see the market, but I think he'd be an okay price. And I like the connections as well. They know, you know, they know the time of day, and I think they're quite shrewd with the jockey booking, so he'll do for me.
Okay, we'll move on to the 2 o'clock, which is the Betway All-Weather Marathon Championships Conditions Stakes. Now, there could be quite a few short price favourites on the card, and Niall, I think this is another one where that could be the case with Ahmad.
Yeah, he's our 5-4 favourite. Aircraft Carrier is 13-2, Grey Britain 7-1, Watersmeet 7-1, Sparkplug 9-1 and 14-1 bar.
Yeah, this horse got a really good recent winning record, TC, and he's made it look easy on all of his starts in Britain anyway.
Yeah, I don't know much about him, to be honest, but he's impressive in both of his British starts and looks a really strong stayer. He powered away last time out. Ryan Moore was originally booked for him. I saw on, I think it was Monday when I had a look, and now he seems to be jocked off for Christophe Simeon, so I don't know whether that's...
Would you take that as a positive, maybe, that Simeon was coming over?
Yeah, I presume Simeon wasn't sure if he was going to come over and then decided that he would, that he's got a couple of other rides on the card. And, yeah, the body yard decided to put him up, which... I mean, Ryan Moore's obviously got more experience around the course, but Simeon's a great jockey, as we all know. Price is a bit short, though, so he's not really one for me. I think the best bet in the race is probably Sparkplug at a decent price. Unexposed on the all-weather, he's only had 3 starts, winner of one of them. Ran all right on his only start here, although he did hang a little bit left, which is a slight concern. Really smart horse over the years, enlisted company and handicap company. I think he won a 31 runner handicap once, maybe at Newmarket.
In the Cambridgeshire once.
Yeah, was it the Cambridgeshire? Yeah. I think I was on him that day. It was ages ago, though.
Of course you would have been on him. Have to drop that in there.
He did really well to beat Verdana Blue, who we all saw hack up in the Scottish Champion last time out. And that was on Sparkplug's penultimate start. Stayed really well over 2 miles, his first try at the trip last time. And I think he's going to be a good each-way price and could maybe trouble Ahmad.
Yeah, I'm reading 9-1 now. Can we just check that? Is 9-1 Sparkplug?
Yeah, he's 9-1.
Yeah, so potentially some value there. Ron, we'll go over to you next.
Yeah, I'm completely with Tom there on both his points he made about the favourite. Just looks a real strong stayer. I mean, at Kempton when he won, he sort of travelled into it quite nice and then showed a bit of speed. But at Chelmsford, he took ages to get on top, and he was watching the replay there, and he was... I don't know, you wouldn't have called him the winner at the top of the straight, and he's ended up winning 3.5.
Do you think that could make him vulnerable at a track like Lingfield, where it's, you know, quite tight and there's a lot of turns?
Absolutely, I think so. I mean, I was just looking, and we weathered, read too much into it, but the track record at Lingfield is like 7 seconds faster than the track record at Chelmsford, and the track record was actually set in this race a couple of years ago. So, I mean, it's more of a speed test. And if he just takes that time to warm up again, maybe Sumi want to make a lot of use of him. I mean, he's no mug, is he? So he's just going to, if they go at a pace, he'll probably outstay them, and he looks a real good stayer. But if it turns into a bit of a tactical race, then he's vulnerable. And I'm absolutely agree with Sparkplug. Over the years, he hasn't been the easiest to sort of win with. He's always there or thereabouts, and maybe doesn't have a great win record for his ability. But it looks nicely made for this race. 3 all-weather starts, shaped well in all of them. The 10 furlong race he ran in here, the only time he ran at Lingfield, he just got no run. He was in a really sort of poor position turning in, and the jockey was never really able to get stuck into him. He won a mile and a half listed race at Kempton next time. He was beaten by Stamford Raffles when he was up to 2 miles most recently, and Stamford Raffles is in this. But the winner that day had the run of the race in front, and Sparkplug... I thought he did well to get that close. He only lost out on the knot, and probably maybe a bit more of a contested pace this time. Maybe they don't really go fast, but I think it will set up a little bit better for him. And if it falls right, then I'd much rather him than the favourite at the prices.
Yeah, two of you sort of reading off the same hymn sheet there. But Ahmad, his form has been boosted. He beat Elegiac, who went on to win the further flight, so that looks pretty good now. So he could well just be a cut above. Niall, any thoughts?
Yeah, you just stole my thunder there. I was just going to say that Allegiac thing.
Sorry.
he actually looks very difficult to beat for me. Like, I did look at Sparkplug. I just remember Price in that race the last, and I genuinely thought he had no chance of getting home over 2 mile. And he ran much better than I thought. But then when I looked at the time, they went to crawl. So as the lads were saying, I think he needs them to go really slow to have any chance of winning this personally. But I just have major stamina doubt if they go kind of hard, which, I don't know, it could turn into a tactical affair. I think that the Fav just looks very solid. He seems to have a lot of them covered. He's the strongest there. Simeon, he's over for Royal meeting, isn't he, for the Newmarket race. So, yeah, I think that's what he's over. He's obviously a good book, and, yeah, I'll just stick with the Fav here.
Okay, so tactics could be key in the marathon. In the 2:30, the Ladbrokes All-Weather Fillies and Mares Championships Conditions Stakes. Now, William Haggas won this last year with Diagnostic. He looks to have another strong chance with Island of Life. Just run us through the prices again now, please.
Yeah, Island of Life is our 3-1 favourite. Heavenly Holly is 4-1. Racema is 9-2. Crossing the Line is 13-2. Gorgeous Noura is 13-2. Castle Hill Cassie 7-1 and 10-1 bar.
Do you think Haggis can do it again?
No. The basis that this horse, Island of Life, well, I respect her. I think she's a really nice horse and she's definitely improved since undergoing a wind-up. But she cost me so much money last summer. I think
it's got personal now.
Yeah, it's genuinely got personal. I backed her on four occasions after she, I think she blew the start one day at Haydock and dotted up still. And it was an incredible performance. Lost 10 lengths at the start. I backed her on her next four starts. She finished placing all of them and she seemed to chuck a couple of them away. And I just can't.
Question her attitude a little bit then?
I did question it, but she's a winning machine at the moment. She seems to have massively improved since I haven't put my money on her. So I'm not sure, but I'll
do it to yourself.
I can't. I refuse to back her now, especially at her likely odds. Although I do respect her, she does have a big chance.
Okay.
I don't really have a strong opinion on the race, to be honest. I thought Castle Hill Cassie was interesting, but drawn, I think, 11, and that puts me off her. Gorgeous Nora, the other David Howden and David Redvers owned mares. She's been prolific on the all-weather this winter for Archie Watson since moving to the yard from Luca Kamani. Lingfield specialist, improved no end, really.
Yeah.
And she got a really nice turn of foot, so she could be the one to capitalise at the end of the race if they go pretty hard early.
Yeah, I was quite surprised by her price, actually. Talented filly in her own right. Some other good horses in this. Clon Cooley, another one who at least I'm familiar with from racing on turf. Ron, what do you think? Tom doesn't have a very strong view on it, do you?
It's really wide open race. This and the opening handicap for me, I just thought, you know, a bit of a lottery, really. But I don't... Not copying Tom all the way through, but Gorgeous Nora was quite interesting. The trip's the question mark. She's up, you know, she's a sprinter, 5-6 furlong horse, and she won a 5 furlong listed race around here. This is 7. So the question mark is whether she can just get into a nice rhythm over this trip, you know, whether maybe she might find them going a stride too slow for her. But if she relaxes, okay. I think, again, she's handily drawn. I like, you sort of get the theme with me. I like a horse with a bit of speed around Lingfield, and which obviously she's got. And I don't know, but she won the 5 furlong listed race here. It wasn't as if she was just a pure speed all the way through. She was a bit outpaced and stayed on. So I think it could be, I mean, it could be within reach. The only other time she ran over 7, she was with a different trainer. It was a messy race around Chelmsford, 4 runners, and she was really keen and she had a massive weight that day. So I'd be prepared to give her another chance. I mean, Archie Watson's just a phenomenal trainer, isn't he? So that gives me confidence. And yeah, I don't know. And so someone who covers a lot of American racing like I do, an angle that they'd make a big deal of, it probably won't be really touched on over here so much, is the fact that, I mean, since she's joined Archie Watson, she's had 5 starts for him, and they've all been against males, all been against the boys. This time she's backing against her own sex, and whether you think that's a good angle or not, I don't know. Maybe just she was up against Catchy 3 starts ago when he broke the track record, and she beat the boys in a listed race here, and last time she was on the turf against the boys' turf, probably not really her thing. Backing against her own sex with a load of speed, handy draw, I don't know, possible. I'm not convinced, but yeah, she seems a fair price, doesn't she? So
yeah, quiet confidence then, I think it would be fair to say, behind Gorgeous Nora. Niall, are you going to agree with the lads, or are you going to introduce something else into the mix?
Yeah, this is definitely the trickiest race in the card for me. You mentioned her there, but Clon Cooley, I thought maybe she's just the best horse in the race. I think that form at Ascot when she won was a listed race.
Yeah.
Last year is probably some of the strongest form on offer. Now, she's going to need a very good ride here over 7 furlongs, but she's got the right man on board in Jamie Spencer. I think there's enough pace on to bring her into the race. Yeah, I just sighted her. I would have liked Heavenly Holly, but she's drawn wide as well, and I'd say she'll struggle to get a position even with Ryan Moore up. So yeah, I'll stay with Clon Cooley.
Okay, we're going to go for a quick break now, but we'll be back to cover the rest of the card just after this.
What's my horse's handicap? The fact that you're backing him? Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this all-weather championships finals day. Now, one of the most exciting races on the card is probably going to be the 3.05. It's the Betway All-Weather Sprint Championships Conditions Stakes. Cashy, he was second in it last year. He'll be bidding to go one better this year. Can he do it, Tom Collins? He's just a really good horse to watch. I know someone said he's almost like a Group 1 horse on the all-weather, but he can't quite reach the top level over turf.
Yeah, he's a fantastic horse, and it'll be very much catchy me if you can.
Terrible.
That's the worst joke I'll ever say in my life. he's going to bang out from stall 8, and if he grabs that rail, he's virtually unbeatable. He's going to, I don't know what price he is, maybe 8 to 11, I think. And if he hits that rail within the first furlong in running, he'll go 1 to 3, 1 to 4, because he's virtually impossible to catch around Lingfield, a tight turning track, and he's got so much speed, potent turn of foot. Track record holder should kick away, and it's really a kind of a forecast betting race, because the price on Catchy is going to be quite short. And just looking at the race, I think it might pan out so that Stone of Destiny can grab second for Andrew Baldwin. We know that
great
his team,
form, isn't he? Andrew?
Yeah, exactly. His team are flying, and he'll love the fast pace to aim at as well, the Stone of Destiny, because he's often keen in his races, tugs for his head. But with this fast pace, he might get, well, I mean, he might settle. We don't know. He's a pretty buzzy horse. He's got really smart back form. He was fourth in the 2018 Commonwealth Cup, which is a great race. Can fly through the field and hopefully get second and land a nice forecast bet.
Okay, just sticking with Cashy for a sec. The wide draw, would that not bother you? I mean, he seems to get away so quickly and he can get across anyway. No concerns there?
As Ron said earlier, that he likes American racing. I'm also an American racing fan, and they always talk about gate speed and how quick a horse is away from the gate. And Cashy is incredible in the first few strides. He really picks up and goes. And I think even from stall out, he could probably clear those inside him, even if they're front runners.
Yeah, we've seen him do it before. Ron, are you a big Cashy fan?
Yeah, I think he'll win. I mean, on that point of the gate speed, he is absolutely lightning away when he gets it right. He doesn't always get it absolutely perfect. I mean, I think it might just be worth remembering in this race last year, he wasn't sort of super well away. He was out okay and he recovered and he sat handy, but he couldn't get. I thought he actually ran well in this last year against a really beaten by a good horse, and considering it didn't all go perfect for him, I thought he did well to get second that day. This time around, I mean, he's improved £2 on RPRs. I mean, it's not much, but it's a little bit. He's had two starts since the breathing operation. He's won both of those in track record times. As long as he, I mean, even if he doesn't quite absolutely ping like he can, he showed last year that he can still run a nice race, and a repeat of last year's performance will probably be good enough, and I actually expect even better this time. So I think, stating the obvious because he's odds on, isn't it? But it's, I think he'll win. He's got Richard King's coat is good from the front, so I think he'll do for me. And just going to continue the theme of agreeing with Tom all the way through, but Stone of Destiny maybe for the forecast. I did tip him in the paper last time, and I did the analysis as well, and I was thinking, I was really disappointed with him, and I wrote sort of quite a negative comment for him. And I was just looking again yesterday. He was still only, as a typical Lingfield finish, he was still only beaten under two lengths. He pulled all the way around, really headstrong, and just in my head, I was thinking, ran a poor race and he was stuffed. He was actually beaten a length and three quarters or something. If he was to relax, and if they do go really hard up front, and if he just drops his head, he's got a bundle of talent, that horse. I don't think he can win it, but if you're looking for a forecast bet, him and just another one to chuck in there, might as well go for the trifecta. Alfredo,
as many bets as we can, get them in there.
Alfredo Arcano, he might not be good enough, but he's a horse I know from Dubai. He ran out there earlier this year and a really strong travelling horse. It didn't really happen for him in Dubai. He kept showing up and he kept catching the eye. And you think he's quite decent. And he just never really saw it out. And since then, he's gone back to Dundalk in Ireland and round the turn on the all-weather there. And he's won again. I think he's won his last four on the all-weather at Dundalk. Another step up needed now. But he's that type of horse that, you love the conditions. And you just don't really know that those horses who travel really well, you almost put them in any company and they'll run well. He's that type. And we've got the 1-2-3 there anyway, I think.
Okay, fingers crossed that can come in. And Niall, it's great, as I said before, to have these races now that horses like Cashy can run in, because they really suit him so well.
Yeah, he heads our market at 5-6. He's going to take a lot of beating here. I'm actually just going to echo exactly what the lad said. I think Cashy will win. There's very little pace inside him, actually, for a sprint. I think he'd have no trouble getting to the lead. The one I was going to put up each way, or for the forecast, is Stone of Destiny for the Inform Andrew Balling team. As the lad said, he was an eye-catching run on late last time off a slow pace at the Lingfield, getting a decent sectional upgrade for the run. So, yeah, I think this race could set up well. I think he'll be second.
Okay. Favourites of the one, the last two renewals of the 340, which is the Ladbrokes three-year-old all-weather championships conditions stakes. Who's that honour going to go to this time, Niall?
Pizzicato is our 4-1 favourite anyway. Charming Kid is 9-2. Deputise 9-2. Concierge 11-2. DP Intrigue 11-2. And 11-1 bar. This race is very difficult. Like, what I kind of came down on was that I didn't really like any of the UK horses. I just didn't think they were any use at all. So even though I don't know a huge amount about him, I'm just going to back this French horse, Pizzicato. He was impressive last time in France with the likes of Quiet Endeavour a good bit behind him. So at the price, he's 4-1. I just chance him. I'll not be having much on it, though.
Okay. Do you know much about Pizzicato, or however you say it? I don't know if that's that wrong.
Pizzicato. No, I don't know much about him, but I'm also going to be siding with him. Exactly what Niall says. A pretty weak race for the British contingent. I didn't really like any of them, to be honest. The French have dominated this fixture last year. This horse is unexposed. Won 4 of 8 starts. Simeon is an obvious plus aboard. Wasn't beaten far by Barris, the Archie Watson horse, on his penultimate start. Barris is rated 100. So, I mean, he has got good form in the book. He also came from behind to win at Shanty last time. I don't know much about French form, But when I watch Sean T, I find that if you're on the pace, it's a massive advantage. So to come from behind, you can mark up that effort. And he was quite impressive in doing so. So I think he's probably the one to side with her.
4-1, could that be a bit big then?
In a race with pretty poor opposition, I'd say, 4-1 is probably quite big. I wouldn't be surprised if he got backed on the day either, to be fair.
Okay, Ron, what could you see happening here?
I really liked Charming Kid before I saw the draw. He was going to be my bet of the day. He's now drawn 12-12. I'll stick with him anyway. I mean, I actually backed him earlier in the week thinking he's just the wrong price and he's going to end up being a bigger price because he's drawn 12-12, so I should have waited, but never mind. He was third in the July Stakes last year, Group 2, which if he runs to that level, he'll probably win. The question is obviously whether he can get back to that level. But I covered him when he ran at Wolverhampton in December, and he was really disappointing. He was like the clear pick at the weights, and he finished second last. But the key thing about that race was he was really weak in the market. You know, on paper, he should have been like a 5-4 shot. He went off 11-2. So, you know, on one hand, that was alarming, but I think subsequently he's shown he just needed the run. I mean, next time he ran at Kempton, he got beat again, still well below his July Stakes level, but it was a step in the right direction at least. And then his third run, I mean, he needed to run three times to qualify for this race. He went to Dundalk in order to qualify, and he was almost back to that July 6th level. On paper, it maybe didn't look a great race. It was just one of these sort of random conditions races or something. But the second has won since, the third has won since, and he did it really easily. He turned in at Dundalk full of running, and the question was, you know, whether he was going to find anything. He, one of those where he could have fallen in a hole or gone away, and he really knuckled down and won almost three lengths. I was quite impressed with him that day. And then they put him away for this race 3 months. It just looks like, to me, it just screams that like a lot of horses on the day, admittedly, but he's been laid out for this completely. He wasn't ready at Wolverhampton in December, I don't think. Still probably wasn't ready at Kempton in January. Gone to Dundalk, refound his level. He's qualified for this race, put him away and bring him out. And if he runs it, I mean, I think the last two winning RPRs in this race were around 100, and he's already got two of those in the book. And yeah, but for stall 12, I'd be fairly convinced he'll throw down another three-figure number, which would probably be good enough. I did watch that French horse last time, and I can only read so much into the sort of visuals, but he didn't strike me as being the quickest. You know, it took a while to get on top, and before that, he won over a mile, and that's 6.5 at Sean T. This is a quick six. I prefer the Richard Fahey horse, Charming Kid.
But. Okay, so you think the favourite could be Vulnerable. That's interesting. We've talked about one Cambridgeshire winner already today, Spark Plug. The other one is Wissa Hickon, who we're going to see in the 4:15, the Betway Easter Classic All-Weather Middle Distance Championships Condition Stakes. These race titles are really challenging me today. I'm doing well. Tom, class horse, isn't he? And I think is he too good for the opposition here?
Yeah, he just wins, doesn't he? I'll be looking towards some of the lengths market to win by three or more, potentially. It's going to be a much better price than, I imagine, it's going to be about 1-3, 4-11, and you can't really back him at that kind of price. He's 6-7 on the all-weather, 4-4 at Lingfield. Got speed and stamina, still improving. I mean, he's unbeatable, really. Forecast race again, I think. If you're not playing lengths, I mean, some people don't like doing that just in case Frankie eases down or whatever.
I'd be very nervous of that myself.
Yeah.
He likes to show off a little bit, doesn't he?
Yeah, so the two that I narrowed down to for the second were his stable companion, Courthouse, who is sure to like lead him into the race, and he'll stick about at the end. He's run against Wissa Hickon the last twice, will be prominent, and it'll take a decent horse to go past him. And the only the one that I think may go past him is Master of the World, who been trained for this day, in form horse. He's been in the places on 8 of 10 starts on the all weather as well, so he loves a synthetic surface. Ryan Moore's been booked, which is fantastic booking, and they're probably the two to fight out second. So I'll probably play both of those and lengths market.
Yeah, okay, lots of potential bets in this race then. I know you and Ron are big fans of your American racing. Wissick, and he's got pretty good pedigree for that sort of thing. Where could you see him heading for the rest of the year after this?
He's going to have a fantastic campaign. I don't know what Gosden set out for him, to be honest. But he looks.
Is there anywhere you'd like him to go?
This is the target that everyone's been talking about for a long time since winning at Newmarket, and so I don't know what the plan is for turf season. But he's a fantastic horse, and he'll probably do well. He will do well in group class races.
Yeah, could still be improving. Ron, Wissa Hickon, what do you think of him on the whole? Is he beatable here?
Could be. I don't know. This might be one of those where I'm just sort of trying too hard to get the obvious one beat, but he's going to be really short. And I thought the thing to note was they were toying with the idea of going for the Shima Classic in Dubai. In fact, I actually think they were going to go for the Shima Classic in Dubai, but his blood was wrong. So this was the target. And then they, I think because he was so impressive last time, then Frankie got off and sort of said, oh, we could send this to Dubai. I think Frankie fancied a World Cup night winner. And then his blood was wrong. So they scrapped that and then stuck to the original plan.
Okay.
yeah, you've got to trust Gosden, haven't you? But that's just a doubt in the back of my mind for a long odds on shot that, you know, is he 100% over, whatever was affecting him there. And the only other negative, if you can call it that, would be that he's just been beating the same horses this winter. He beat Big Country twice, is a good horse, but nothing amazing. And then last time out, I did the race when he ran last time, and he was really impressive, but he beat his stablemate Courthouse. And I don't think Courthouse is anything special at all. And he possibly is even more of a mile and a half horse. And Courthouse missed the break that day. So, I mean, I really don't think Wizzigan had anything to beat.
Could we be getting a bit carried away then, perhaps?
Possibly. I mean, he's well above average for this race type. You just look at the figures and stuff. But he's just been beating the same old horses, and it's possible there's another above average one in here. So, I mean, if it was the same old bunch again, I'd say, yeah, we'll just win. But the one in here is Matterhorn. We just don't quite know how good he is yet, because he won a load of handicaps in a row, and sometimes you can get inflated ratings for winning these handicaps, especially in the winter when they're maybe not the strongest. But the race he won at Kempton two starts ago, he ran off 107. And the second, I think, has won twice since. The third has won. So they weren't rubbish that he was beaten. Obviously, the negative with him is that they put him up to listed level last time. He got turned over at odds on. So he needs to bounce back. But I'm prepared to excuse him that. I mean, Johnson horses can bounce back from a bad run. That's a bit of a cliche, but they can. And I mean, the other thing as well, Johnson made the point that he was running him in that race rather than keeping him fresh for this, because Johnson likes to run his horses. And I mean, if he hadn't run there, he'd have been into this off a 6 or 7 week break. So he ran him, and he was drawn one that day. So he kind of had to. His hand was sort of forced to go early, and something went with him the whole way. Jared Mossay on Harry Dunlop's horse, I can't remember the name of it now, but and they just sort of killed each other, and the horse that tracked them picked them up. And I thought the thing about Matterhorn, he's beaten 10 lengths, he did drop away, but he still beat the horse that was challenging him for the pace, that annoying him the whole way. I'm more than prepared to believe he can bounce back from that. The time before, he'd done quite a fast time as well, and going back to the old American angle, you know, the bounce factor could have been at play there as well. And I just think we'll see a better performance. He's 2 for 2 at Lingfield. He might not be in Wissahickon's league, but then again, he might be. And there's also that nagging doubt about Wissahickon having a little hiccup a few weeks ago. So I've had a little bit of Matterhorn, and I'm not going to say he'll win, but a little bit of a sort of sporting play, if you like.
Yeah, he's a very likeable horse, isn't he, Matterhorn? Just touching on something quickly, I know we were talking this morning or yesterday about John Gosden's form. You said some of them aren't quite running amazingly. Would that be a worry?
Yeah, there's been a few that have been quite disappointing on the turf. Gosden's a fantastic trainer, and Wissahickon's a brilliant horse, and I think he might not even have to really turn up anywhere near 100% to win this race, in my opinion. Matterhorn, as Ron said, is a good horse, but he's not the angle I like. As I said at the start of the show, was I like a horse that hasn't had many runs over the winter. Matterhorn's been out every week. I know that's what Johnson does, but I just don't feel like there's that improvement in him that there may be in Wissahickon.
Yeah, I understand that totally. Before we move on to the final race, Niall, any thoughts to add?
I'll just go through the betting real quick. Wissahickon is 4-11, Matterhorn 6-1, Master of the World 10-1, and 12-1 bar. I actually think there's a big each way bet here, and Ron said a lot of it. Yeah, it's just Matterhorn. Like, I know we're 6-1 at the moment, but maybe that mightn't last too long. Like, even on figures, like, first of all, his last run, I completely forgive it, because he went an absolutely crazy gallop. I was in that day, and we literally couldn't stop laying it. Like, they thought he was unbeatable looking at the way the book went. He obviously seemed to go too hard looking at sectionals. That would say that as well. His previous race, he put in a really decent time when beating Executive Force. I can see him getting a relatively soft lead here. And if he does, I think he'll actually take quite a bit of pegging back. Like, even on all ratings, like, time for him only having needed to find £2 at Wissahickon, and 4-11 and 6-1 would just look a big gap. So yeah, I'll definitely back him each way.
Okay, that's very interesting indeed. We'll move on to the final race. As I said, the 4:45 Sun Racing All-Weather Mile Championships Conditions Stakes. Hopefully we can end the day on a winner. Who's likely to go off favourite now?
Kaiser Soza at the moment is our 4-1 favourite. Oh, This Is Us is 9-2. Indico is 13-2. Arcanada 7-1. Straight Right 7-1 and 8-1 bar.
I'll go to you first this time, Ron. Any strong fancies in the final race of the day?
I've had a couple of bets. The one I sort of would favour would be Oh, This Is Us. I just thought he was a decent price for you know, probably the form pick, and he's already got a win round here this winter, and that was a little bit like Matterhorn in the previous race. This horse won a handicap off a really, you know, 110 he won off, and he got an RPR of 117 that day. It wasn't a very good race, and could be a little bit inflated because it was sort of a handicap win, but if he was to run to that level again, he'd win, basically. And it was not as if that was out of the blue. I mean, he was third in the Park Stakes Group 2 at Doncaster last year. He was second on Ark Weekend in a Group 2. He's just a decent horse. The reason you're getting slightly inflated odds is because he got turned over at 5-4 next time in a Wolverhampton listed race. But sort of go back to an earlier angle as well. Trainers have had to qualify their horses for this meeting, and so he needed to run again to qualify, and probably just ran a bit flat. It wasn't him, was it? And we know his career tells us he's much better than that. He's had 6 weeks since then. This was the goal. A course and distance win. So yeah, I think he's a decent bet. As I say, I have backed another one in here as well, and that's Card Sharp. The only other time he ran over this, the trip's a question mark. The only other time he ran over a mile was in the 2000 Guineas, I believe, and he was stuffed. But I mean, we're going to excuse him that. And decent win two starts ago. You know, it's quite a smart performance. Again, a bit like, oh, this is us. He then got turned over his favourite next time. But that was, his qualifying run for this. It was a third run in 14 days, having been off all winter. So it's like they just sort of crammed three runs into him and showed two starts ago he's got the form to do it, and forget the last run because, you know, it came too soon and he's qualified for it. So I thought those two were smart horses. I think they'll run well. They're like, you know, proven course winners. So if I just mention one other, though, it was just above the rest. I just thought he was interesting because he was entered in the sprint and he was entered in this as well. And I didn't back him for this, but I'll see what price he is on the day. But I'll probably add him as well, just for the fact that the trip's a question mark for him, because he normally runs over 6 and 7 furlongs. But it's interesting they've gone for this mile race. If you look back further enough, he did actually win his maiden over a mile, and he's never run over a mile for David Barron, his current trainer, a couple of years with this trainer or so. And he's an 8-year-old now. Sometimes these horses, they slow down a touch, and they appreciate the rivals going a stride slower when they sort of go up and trip. And he's got the class. I mean, he's a listed winner, a Group 3 winner on the all weather. And if this trip helps him, he'll switch off. He's a sort of closing horse, hold up horse anyway. I could just see him producing a decent late kick. So it's one of those I'm going to end up backing a few. But I think I quite like the look of the race because This Is Us and the Johnson horse Card Ship, and maybe at a decent price above the rest. And
Yeah, I think from what I could gather from that, it's just you're very keen on the class horses of the race, Tom. I know Tom Marquand, he loves Oh, This Is Us. He's such a sort of gutsy horse and always seems to run to form, despite what Ron said. He was disappointing last time out. Would you be interested in him, or are you looking elsewhere?
Yeah, like Ron, I've had two bets in the race. Well, Ron said he's maybe only three, but I will actually only stick with two in this one. I'm quite confident on both, and I think they're both going to be reasonable prices as well. This Is Us is one of them. He was disappointing last time, as you both said, but I think
usually he's pretty reliable, isn't he?
Exactly, he's a reliable horse. He's a three-time group placed horse as well, so he's got the ability and the talent to win a race like this. That race last time, I'm willing to excuse most of the beaten horses, and both of my bets in this race actually came from that race. First time out this season, Oh, This Is Us was given a ride by Ryan Moore, who Ryan came back after a stint away and hadn't been riding in Britain for quite a bit, and the rail was dead that day, and Ryan decided to go up the rail. That's why he got beat. He would have won on his reappearance as well. Won his penultimate start really well, goes well over the course and distance, so Oh, This Is Us is a decent bet in the race. But there's a horse I really like in this, and I think he's going to be overlooked because he got beat last time in the same race as Oh, This Is Us, and that's Documenting. He's progressing all the time, and the way he won his penultimate outing...
I remember that, yeah, it was a big performance, wasn't it?
Yeah, he won by 7 lengths, and he didn't even come off the bridle. He cleared away from him. He looked like a horse that was miles better than the grade he was running in. James Doyle has been booked. Now, that is an interesting booking, because how many times has James Doyle ridden for Kevin Frost? I mean, I haven't looked, but I can't imagine it's more than two or three.
No.
And the top speed figure that he put up on that penultimate outing when he won, I think it was 92, like it lived up to the reputation of the race. The race was, he just obliterated them, and he put up a nice figure. Like, he's a good horse. He was disappointing last time, but he's going to bounce back, and I think he's a great bet as well as Oh, This Is Us in the race.
Yeah. Okay, so a few sort of, they've got it in them, so we're keeping the faith with a few of these.
Definitely.
Niall, what can you see happening in this race? Have you got a strong fancy? I mean, no love for Kaiser Soze so far.
No, and it's a race I've actually had two bets on myself. I think he's probably a bad favourite, Kaiser Soze. He's probably just better over 7 furlongs. Like, I think the mile around here is probably okay, but it might just blunt his speed a little bit. I think he's one to take on. The two I've backed against him, the first is Glen Devon for Richard Hughes with Ryan Murr booked, which I thought was an eye-catching booking. Now, he was a horse I was liking going into last year. I think I was considering backing him for the Greenham or one of them races, but he missed that engagement, and then he was disappointing nearly the whole season. Now, he finally showed something at Kempton in a listed race when he's beaten by Cross in the line over 7 furlongs, but just the way he shaped, I thought he'd improve for the step up 2 mile and could go well here. And like I said, the good jockey book. And the other one is the one Ron mentioned in Card Sharp. I think Tom might have mentioned him as well. As I said earlier with the horse in the first race, Gallipoli, that time in the handicap at Linkfield when Card Sharp was carrying a big weight was really impressive. It was like the fastest 7 furlongs run in a year, as I said. He was obviously disappointing last time, and I don't know why. And the mile is a concern, but I'm hoping he'll just about get away with it. He's 8-1. Glendevin is as big as 14-1 in places, so I'll back the two of them each way.
Okay, nice. Let's get some naps now. Hope you guys have got some strong fancies.
This will not be beaten.
What's your strongest bet of all weather finals day, championships finals day, Tom?
Well, there are plenty of shorties, so my best bet is Spark Plug each way in the 2 o'clock, the marathon contest, but I'd also put up as a nap each way double, Breathless Times in the opening apprentice handicap at 1:30, and Documenting in the mile at 4:45.
Blimey, that's an interesting one. Okay, have you got more straightforward one, Ron?
I don't know. It's going to be Charming Kid. I'll stick with him despite the draw. It might be a bit silly. I should, you know, now he's drawn 12-12. Catchy really ought to win, but I don't want to put up an odds-on shot. So Charming Kid in the three-year-old sprint will do for me. I'll stick with him.
Okay, keeping the faith. And finally, Niall.
Gallipoli, 1:30 Linkfield.
Thanks very much. Thanks for joining us today on this postcast. I'll be back on Friday for the tipping postcast then. So if you're more into the turf stuff, make sure you join us for that.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.